wanna just, burn. Hey, what's going on? Okay, bring it down, bring it down, bring it down. Hey, say hi to everybody, Darren.
How you doing?
Everybody say hi, Darren. Say that again. Turn me up, Dave.
Guys.
Up, turn it up. Oh, it's up. What's going on, Darren?
How you doing, Darren?
Man, we're under the big tent in the glory. We're under the big tent in the glory. Donna Shambach's here. She's about to come up here and bring the word, and we're worshiping God. We're being covered with oil and set on fire.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You still going to come down?
Absolutely. I was just getting my tabs renewed, and I started to get really hammered there in the spirit.
Oh,
I think there's some angelic presence there in the DMV. I was just standing there and started laughing and started getting hit there in the DMV.
Well, let me introduce you to everybody here. This is Darren Stott. He's the pastor of the Seattle Revival Center and a new friend of mine. And he wants to come and do some stuff down here. Should we invite him? Hallelujah. Hey, how'd that podcast come out anyway?
Oh, good. I sent you a link. It's a lot of fun, man. It's over
awesome.
An hour long, and it's just
wonderful.
Hey, you just went for it, bro. That's awesome.
Yeah, we do that occasionally. Hey, why don't you just pray for the apple wine to be poured out here? We need a little refreshing in the afternoon. Can you do that for us, Pastor Darren?
Absolutely.
Okay, stick your hands up in the air.
Get ready. Father, thank you for what you're doing there, Moravian Falls. Father, I just pray that you show up and pour out your intoxicating wine of your intimacy and peace. I just pray that you just begin to pour out the apple wine there into Moravian Falls, that the shalom, that there would be a shalom invasion this afternoon. Father, that your power, your kingdom power would show up, and that the government of your peace. Whoa!
That's saucy.
Whoa! Show up and wreck that place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bring it down. Keep going, man. It's good.
Keep going. So we just say,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Darren. Hey, guess who's here?
Who?
Jesus. No. Donna Shambach is here.
Hello, Donna.
Yeah, she's going to be with you in Phoenix. It's going to be really cool out there in August.
I can't wait to meet her. I've heard great things.
Awesome. Well, listen, guys, let's just give Darren a hand clap of appreciation. All right, same here, brother. Looking forward to seeing you. We'll get you down here soon. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. All right, praise the Lord. Let's just lean into that for a second. If you have your vessel, put your cup out. I got intoxicated in Seattle. So, Papa, here's our cup. We say, Daddy, fill it up. You know, a nice, cool beverage on a warm day is always beneficial. Have a little wine for your stomach, Paul said. So, just by faith, tilt back your head and just have a little drink. Yes, thank you, Jesus. All right, how's everybody feeling? You guys can be seated. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, brother. Hallelujah. Hi, Catherine. How are you? Good to see you. Anybody here in the big tent for the first time? You haven't been to any additional meetings? This is your first trip? Oh, praise God. Let's go do a man in the street interview before we start. I am intoxicated again. Hallelujah. Hi, ladies. Where are you guys from? Hold on a second. Don't be too hasty to speak.
Massachusetts, Connecticut.
Wow, how'd you guys get down here?
We read your book, and we got on your website, and we saw the big tent, and we said we have to be here.
Come on, let's welcome these people from the Northeast. Praise God. And I know these are our friends, the Tellings, over here. This is Judy and her precious husband. You got a word of encouragement for us?
The Lord is going to visit you in a mighty way here this summer.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, we got another one back here. Oh, praise God. We've got a little four-legged person back here, too. Come on, Jesus. Hi. What's your name?
It's Izzy.
Izzy. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Shirley.
Where are you from, Shirley?
I'm originally from Ashe County.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You still up there?
No, I'm living in Elkin right now.
Elkin. Well, you know what? I'm just going to decree over you that that's going to change in Jesus' name. Within 72 hours, the door's going to open for you and you're going to get a place. And somebody say amen to that. We bless you, Judy. Hi. How's your hubby? Tell him we send our regards. Oh, good. Yeah, I want to encourage you to bring some friends tonight. Anybody else here for the first time? Way over there. Where are you from, ma'am? Shout it out. Georgia. Now, are you from Atlanta or are you from Georgia? You're from Augusta. All right. We've got another Augustine up here. Hi, where are you guys from?
Atlanta.
You're from Atlanta, not Georgia. There's a difference, okay? I'm leading up to something here. What's the Lord saying to you?
Oh, it's going to be an amazing weekend. It's already hot in here.
Did you have a good time last week or the week before last?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful, wasn't it?
A lot of apple wine.
A lot of apple wine. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of appreciation. Hallelujah. And let's give Matthew and Garrett Reams and the Dreamer a hand clap of appreciation. Oh, wow. I'm expecting God to do something amazing today. I'm going to be like a supernatural SpongeBob SquarePants. You know what that means? That means if you don't take yours, I'm going to absorb it. Because I'm a supernatural SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, they looked at me funny out there in Seattle. I don't know why. They were looking at me like a cow staring at a new gate. Yeah, hallelujah. Do you have your assistant with you? No, she didn't make it? Someone's coming today. Well, that means I get to introduce you. Are you ready? Come on up here. Let's put our hands together and let's welcome Donna Schumbach. Just take your time.
Yeah,
nice to meet you. Sorry, I'm a little sweaty.
I told Christine I wouldn't know Kevin if he punched me in the face, so finally I got to meet you. Hallelujah. Can I ask you, I know it's hot, stand one more time. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap. He's the only one worthy of our praise. Amen. And he's welcome anywhere I am. I want to be right where he is. Amen. Why don't you take a little trip, look two or three people right dead in the eye and say, today is your day for a miracle. Hallelujah. Now find three others and say, today's my day. Today's my day for a miracle. Glory to God. All right. You may be see, and I thought you were saying that to me. It's my day too. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's really a surprise and a delight to be here. Surprise because Kevin will tell you this happened kind of quickly. About maybe 2 weeks ago, Patricia King thought it would be a good idea for us to meet, and I'm thankful because I love to be under tents in the summertime. It's been a while. And I have to tell you, it's a privilege to be here because anywhere the Spirit of God is, anywhere the Spirit of God is welcome and the gifts of the Spirit are welcome, we know that God is free to have his way. Amen? I have a particular love for afternoon people. I used to, my dad had me come and minister with him about 25 years ago, and my first assignment, in addition to being the general manager of his ministry, was to preach in those afternoon services. And I found out that about 10% of the people from the evening services would come to the afternoon services. And they seemed to be the ones that really pressed in for their miracles, because they didn't care about what it took to get them. They didn't care about the heat. They didn't care about the challenges. There was a hunger in their hearts to receive from the Lord. And so I feel really encouraged that you're going to receive something today, tonight. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but how many of you know right now is as good a time as any? Amen? So God's getting ready to do something. I've been a teacher my entire life, and I like to do things progressively and in stages. And today I want to just set the groundwork for what I believe God wants to accomplish this weekend. Now, you know, I just said hello to Kevin, so we have had really no discussions other than just information about the tent and what God's been doing here. But I really believe that when the tent goes up in an area, God wants to consecrate that area for his purpose. I believe, you know, I used to understand that there was something about a tent, because it, when people came on underneath the tent, they understood it was neutral territory. They weren't walking into a building that belonged to a man. They weren't walking into a denominational edifice. They weren't walking into a set of rules and religious order. But they were coming because of interest and because something compelled them to come in. Oftentimes they didn't know what it was that was compelling them to come in, but many times they left knowing who he was. And they left knowing the Savior and being filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving their miracle. So these tents, and my dad put them up every single year that I can remember, mostly in the inner cities of our nation. I've been with him in tent meetings in Miami, South Central Los Angeles, many times in Chicago and Philadelphia, and of course New York City, and almost every borough, including Long Island and Staten Island. So he's been in every borough of New York City. Our favorite places to land were the Bronx and Brooklyn. We'd always go in July or August or September. It was always hot. And we always were in neighborhoods that were challenging, if you know what I mean. I remember particularly one neighborhood in Brooklyn where the lot was surrounded by a chain link fence. And when my dad gave the altar call, I decided to go outside the tent to see, because I knew there were people outside the tent listening. And I was privileged to see, and I got our cameraman to take a picture of it, men with and women with one hand grabbing onto the chain link fence and the other hand raised to receive Christ as their Savior. See, there was, and his tent was a white tent in those latter days. There was something that when that tent went up, it was a beacon to the neighborhood. It was saying, there is hope under that tent. There is refuge from the war under that tent. From whatever's raging around me, I can find deliverance under that tent. And they became, when as soon as it went up, there was a joy that came into people's hearts. But also there was, you know, the police loved it when we came into town, because the crime rate would always drop to zero wherever we went. Now, I share that to say to you this, that when God says put a tent up, most preachers are going, huh? Because to be honest with you, the believers of today really don't enjoy sitting outside in 105 degree temperatures and sweating with no air conditioning to listen to something that they could get on YouTube. You know what I mean? So a preacher can consider it something that's really strange to do, or the Lord said do it. And so when I find that the Lord is in it, there's something that he wants to do to consecrate the ground. I don't know if it has to do with the region that he wants to break something open. I don't know if it's a beginning of revival for this area of the Northeast, because, honey, revival's rolling. I want you to know. It's already starting to roll. And I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something about this area where there's a lot of intercessors that need to be gathered to pray for what God's about to unleash on this nation. God can show us what the reason is, but this is consecrated ground. That's number one. The second thing I want to share with you is, as we go through these days, that God is getting ready to do something new in your life. And what I mean by that is, you know, oftentimes when I go to church, I'm looking for that word that's going to speak to my situation right now. I'm looking for something that's going to help me grow in the Lord, or, you know, something that's going to convict me so I know if there's any area of my life that needs change, that he'll speak that word, that I can make a correction. But usually when I think about, you know, going to a service, I think kind of in the sense of what's going to meet my need right now. And there are going to be people that have a right now need met. But I really believe this weekend's going to be about taking us from where we are right here, right now, to where God wants to place us for what he's going to do in the next months and year to come. In other words, if we don't leave here totally transformed, then I believe that we have not come into what God really intended. And there's always a cord to trip over under 10. So I'm going to try to avoid that. Today I want to talk about an attribute of the Holy Spirit just to open us up to what I believe he's doing. We all understand the presence of the Holy Spirit and we know that he works in our life. But I want to talk about something that God has to do in us if he's going to get us to that place where we need to be, and that is the healing and restorative touch of the Holy Ghost. You see, when a healing comes, whether it's in our physical body or in our mind, whether it's in our finances or in our family, anytime healing comes, there's joy that is restored. And there are a lot of people within the body of Christ you'll find with anything but joy. You'll find people depressed. You'll find them weighed down. You'll find them worried. And listen, we can't be powerhouses for God setting a generation free if we are overwhelmed and bowed down and kowtowing to the devil. We've got to be light on our feet. We've got to be free and unencumbered. We've got to have, hallelujah, the joy of the Holy Spirit. And that joy comes from the restorative work that he does. The picture that the Word of God gives us when it comes to the Holy Spirit and his healing properties is what we've been singing about. It's the oil of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk a little bit about oil. We know many of us are understanding today there are essential oils that if we rub them onto our skin or smell them, they can bring healing to different areas of our body, relaxation to our body. They can disinfect us, right? This is all the work of the healing oil of the Holy Spirit. Some of them have a calming effect. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, he's looking to not just give us a giddy reaction, a temporary physical manifestation, like, ooh, that was the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, he wants to impress himself upon us. He wants to get down into the core of what needs healing in us. For some of us, it may look like it's a physical problem. Now, I can show you this as an example. On my wrist, you'll see, ooh, what's that nasty-looking rash on Donna's arms? I didn't know what that nasty-looking rash is. But I went to a doctor, and the doctor told me I had all kinds of food allergies. And the food allergies were in my gut. And I had to start changing my diet. And when I start changing my diet, the rash starts to subside. And that's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit, you may say, oh, God, I really have a financial problem. or oh God, I have a problem with my wife, or I have a problem with my husband, or I have a problem with my kids. And the Lord said, let me take the Holy Ghost and rub him into you. Let me get a touch of the Holy Ghost on you and deal with the issues. You think it's your husband or you think it's your finances, but there are some things that I need to get down deep and touch that you haven't looked at for a long time. You don't even know that they need to be healed, and I want to heal you to the core of your being so that you can be made every whit whole. Could you just raise your hands and praise Jesus for a minute? Now, I want you to make note of a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to go to one passage as our text. For those who might be depressed, or you know someone who is depressed, write down Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. It says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your companions. See, Jesus has become that remedy for depression. What opens the door to depression? Disobedience, sin, the brokenness of the environment that we live in. But how many of you thankful that we have a remedy for depression? He has given him the anointing or the oil of gladness to go into every deep place of our psyche and our emotions and set us free from the attack of the enemy. Hallelujah. Write down Psalms 92, verse 10. How many of you know that the barrage of the enemy can tend to weaken us and make us feel like we don't have any strength? Psalm 92:10. But my horn shall thou exalt, the horn like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. See, that horn is that symbol of our strength. And sometimes it seems like that horn is broken down, that strength is broken down. We feel like the devil's kind of just jumped on us with both feet. Sometimes we feel like we can't stand up to do the work that God called us to do. But when we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, hallelujah, every day of our life, whether we feel like it or not, he gives us the ability to stand up, hallelujah, stand in a new strength. It's not our horn that we stand in, but we stand in the horn of the Lord, hallelujah, the strength of Jesus Christ himself. And it's that unctioning of the oil of the Holy Ghost that begins to take over. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, just lift your hands and say, God, give me some of that fresh oil today. And there are those that we know, and some may be here right now, that have suffered loss or our mourning. And one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Listen, that the Lord might be glorified. We've got a lot of people that have a withered look in the church. We have a lot of people that are always looking for a slap on the head by the preacher, always looking for a prophetic word. And honey, I've looked for them myself, and I've looked for the slap on my head, and I've looked for the opportunity to do some carpet time. But there's coming a day when God is going to get us out of the need to be dependent upon somebody else to stand up. Because God needs more soldiers. God needs more in his army. God wants us to stand like mighty oaks. He wants us to stand firm. He wants our roots to be deep. And if that's going to happen, we're going to have that oil of joy. Hallelujah. It's the joy that the world didn't give to me. And it's the joy that the world can't take away. Amen. Let me tell you, every time you say that, it's going to come and get tested in you. But God said this. Did you hear that scripture? He wants us to be trees that are planted. What does that mean? The winds can blow. Right? The winds can blow. You can get rocked from side to side. The storms can come. The cold can come. The drought can come. But the mighty oak keeps standing. And we glorify the Lord in every situation. That's what I want to be. I want to be the kind of person that when somebody else needs a touch, somebody else needs hope, they can come to me because I've been planted. And here's a place that we all need to get. How many of you know we have a divided, violent world? We have a world that right now is hell-bent on killing each other. If you don't have the same political beliefs, if you don't have the same doctrine, if you don't have the same religion, people just want to blow each other up. That's diabolical. But there's a remedy. Somebody say there's a remedy. Psalm 133, 1 and 2. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the church of their choice. I hear a lot of people say, find your tribe. And I understand what they're meaning when they say that, but guess what? My tribe is Holy Ghost. Anybody with me? Look, if you name the name of Jesus, you're my tribe, whether you like it or not. You know, that to me, that sounds a little bit fine, like find your click and stick with it. Well, we've had too much of that in the church. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. For there the Lord commanded the blessing and life forevermore. If we could ever understand this principle, that the Holy Ghost is in us to draw us to Jesus in one another, that we could let all of our differences subside, but we can come together and let all of that anointing just mesh and let the body of Christ be the body of Christ. We are going to have more impact, and it's going to be a glorious thing, but it's not a work of our brain or our ingenuity. It's only a work of the Holy Ghost. And so God wants to rub that into us today. See, let's look at just a few characteristics of why oil is so valuable, and then we're going to go to our text. Oil, if you put oil on anything, it smears, doesn't it? And what does that mean? That means it makes a mark wherever it goes. You know, I could put oil on my hands, and I could put oil on the doorposts of my house, and I could look in one direction, and it looks like the oil has been rubbed in, but when that sun hits it, I can still see the marks of the oil on it. And that's what God wants us to be, that when the Holy Ghost begins to smear us with his anointing, that everywhere we go, there's going to be a mark on us. When my grandmother died, my grandmother, she was a Holy Ghost woman. A lot of people think that my faith and my relationship with the Holy Ghost came with my dad and from my dad, and I believe that there was a generational thing happening there, very genetic with him. But my grandmother, I didn't have any choice but to be imparted to because I shared a room with her. And she rubbed shoulders with Amy Semple McPherson and all those kind of folks. So she would tell me about seeing angels and oil coming off of hands and my grandmother, I loved her. She worshiped God from morning to night. I don't think I've seen anybody like it since. She'd get up with her hands raised while she's lying in her bed. I see her hands up in the air. She'd go about the day just thanking God, preaching to me, always preaching to me. I won't tell you what sermon she hit, especially when I was a teenager. When I was making pies with her, she would tell me, ask God to make good crust, because I was always afraid of that crust. She said, well, ask the Lord to help you. Just pray every time you're cooking, and the Lord will help you. When she went through menopause, ladies, she used to have to fan herself a lot. Every place in the house had a fan. In between the sofa cushions, underneath the seats, in the piano, there was a fan. But when she whipped that fan out, there were scripture verses all over that fan. And she'd fan herself with the Word of God. That was my grandmother. She sat down and played the piano by ear, and she just worshiped God. All day long, she was worshiping the Lord, telling people about Jesus, telling people to be ready because Jesus was coming. And I tell you that because my grandmother, I always thought her face was oily. You know, because I had dry skin. I thought, how'd she get that oily skin? And she always shined. You know, and since that time, I've noticed that people who walk close with God, they have a shine on their face. You can see it. It's kind of like what Moses experienced. But when my grandmother was taken to the first place medical facility, the nurse that cared for her talked to my aunt and said, I would have liked to known this woman when she was alive. And my aunt said, yeah, she was a wonderful woman. She said, there's something that shines off her body even now in death. So what am I trying to tell you? That when the Holy Ghost really gets down into us, when he really impresses himself on us, we're not going to be the same old, same old. We're going to be changed. There's going to be a difference about us. We might have similar features and a similar visage, and our personality may have some core features, but we're not going to be grumpy Donna. We're going to be changed Donna. Hallelujah. Glorified Donna. Holy Ghost Donna. The Donna that smiles and says, come on, can we bless Jesus today? And it does, listen, you can tell when it's a performance. And you can tell when it's a change that's taken place by somebody being in proximity of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I'm going to try. It's 3 o'clock already. How much time do we have, sir? Whatever. Okay. Don't do that. Now, oil has a scent. Oil has a scent. And this is similar to the mark. But, you know, when somebody has walked by you, it's not that my dad had a strong cologne. But people always knew when he walked into the room, something changed in the atmosphere. I'm coming out with a new book here in the fall. I'm talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing for miracles. And one of the people who wrote an endorsement was Tommy Reed, one of my dad's friends. And he talked about how they were in a TV studio and they were all there to raise funds. Well, you thank the Lord for that cool breeze. Wasn't that awesome? Woo! Thank you, Lord. He always sends one. Anyway, Tommy said that they were all in this TV studio, but when my dad walked in, something changed in the atmosphere. Now, these are all men of God, people filled with the Holy Ghost, that people preaching for their whole life. But, you know, there can be lives that are so marked with the Holy Ghost that when you leave, there's a scent, an aroma, not from the latest star in Hollywood, but the scent of heaven. Hallelujah. And if you've ever smelled the Rose of Sharon, you know what I'm talking about. Oil smears, oil has a scent, oil saturates. Now, for those, we're going to tell our age if we know this commercial. How many of you remember that Pond's cold cream commercial where they stuck the dried apricot in? Okay, you're all about the same age. Okay. Right? They took that dried apricot, they stuck it in that Pond's cold cream, and what happened? It plumped up and all the wrinkles went away. Well, that's what happens with the Holy Ghost. When he gets rubbed into us, he goes into our deep layers. It's nothing surface about him. And that's, you know, can I talk to you like a big sis? Because I love you. A lot of folks in Pentecost and Charismatics, we've gotten a touch of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost long enough to let him change anything. You see, and you know what we look like? Somebody was doing that in the mall, you thought, let me get him to the nearest hospital. Let me get checked out, right? Now look, I bucked and danced and shouted with the best of them. So I'm not putting that stuff down. But the Holy Ghost is more than a manifestation. The Holy Ghost is a change agent. He wants to come in and make all things new. And when he gets rubbed into us, he gets to the deep layers. And some of you, you've been walking through a really rough time lately. And it's pushed your face to the carpet and you've been crying out to God saying, what in the world? I'm supposed to be blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a tither. Lord, I serve you. God, I'm not supposed to be walking through this stuff. And God is saying, I'm still working with you. I'm still working on you. Just hang tight. I got you. But let me get down to the deep layers and turn a few more pages over. Because when I get it right, poor devil. Watch out, devil. Too bad world. Hallelujah. Because there'll be a change that's taking place. The oil has a weightiness. And we need to understand this, Pentecostal brothers and sisters. The oil isn't flighty. The oil is weighty. The oil is not flighty. See, a flighty person can flit from one campground to the next, one conference to the next. One meeting to the next. One prophecy to the next. Flit, 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 flit. And what are they? They're nothing but flighty. But honey, you can open up your word. And you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And you'd be saying, God, I don't want to leave this place until I know you've walked into this room. I don't want to leave this place till I know I've touched the throne of heaven. God, there's things in my family that needs changing. There's some circumstances, God, that I know you've got to take care of. I need the weightiness of your glory, Lord. I need to be clothed in the weightiness of your spirit. God, I need to be enrobed in you. You see, this is where God's getting us, not because he's slapping us on the wrist, but because he loves us and he's called us according to his purpose. And there are people out there that don't even know that Jesus is alive. They need to rub shoulders with somebody that's not going to give them just a little flitty word, but somebody's going to lay hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. But it takes that oil going down into our spirits and making a change. And then one thing I found out, I like to use olive oil in my salads, and I make a really mean salad, by the way. But one thing I found out about olive oil, and I'm sure it's true of other oils, you start working with oil, it gets into everything. You think you just put it on the bowl, right? But when you get done, you wiping up oil off the cap and off all the utensils, and then you got to wash your clothes again if any oil got on you. Why? Because any place that oil touches, it gets into that thing. And that's why God says, look, I want you to be saturated with me. You can't have enough oil. You need more oil, because everywhere you go, he wants to touch with the oil of the Holy Ghost, that everywhere we go, Holy Ghost heaven is unleashed. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and say yes. Give me a double dose, Lord, of the Holy Ghost. Oh, now I'm just going to use wisdom here right now because I can finish this tonight. I just haven't even gotten into my text yet. Would you want me to save it for tonight? Why don't we do that and I can just keep going? Because that breeze is coming in, right? And God, look, we're in this as a walk. God's just getting our taste buds. He's preparing the table before us. He's getting us ready for a saturation. Why don't you just stand to your feet, everyone? I'm kind of getting my feet wet around here, too. And you guys are precious. Can I tell you that? I have a special love for afternoon people. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you're here today, and musicians, you can come if you'd like to come. If you're here today and you say, Donna, I've been in one of those places where I've been looking for a word. I've been looking for something that's going to change my life. I've been looking for an answer. And that's why I'm at these tent meetings. Because if I don't hear from heaven, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. And if you're saying, I just need the oil of the Holy Ghost, I don't need a touch from man, but I need that oil to keep down into my spirit. And I want this weekend to be a time of change. I want that revelation. I've come for revelation, but I want it to be of the Holy Spirit. I want to feel that nurturing. There are things in my life that may need healing, and I want that to be healed today. If that's you and you just say, I'm hungry, God, just take a step out of your seat and just come stand shoulder to shoulder. I want to walk among you today. And I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just saturate you. Don't hang back. If you know that this is your day for change, this is why you came, move when the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart. Uramandere sira shuro Uranyana yanda roshidere. Come on, worship him. Rosororiane Randialo roshiri Gloria nasuro tire I feel the oil coming on my hand right now. Roshi kararidi andora babasi le baboshuraba. Just say holy, just invite him. I say, Holy Spirit, empty me of myself and fill me with you. Holy Spirit, take your oil and rub it deep into my heart, deep into the layers of my mind, Lord. And this weekend, let me be changed. Lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord Jesus. Come on, just begin to release your faith. Father, like that fresh breeze that you just sent, Lord, that refreshing. We thank you, God, that you're removing all the cobwebs, all those things that have kept us stuck in that one place. But God, we stand here today because we recognize there's a call on our lives, Lord. We want nothing hindering what you have called us to do. And so, Father, I pray that as I lay hands in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, that the oil of the Holy Ghost would be poured out afresh and anew, afresh and anew. Rossi le banduro, ramandi le shianduro. Receive the oil of the Lord. Receive the goodness of the Lord, that strengthening, that strengthening. Father, I thank you
for turnaround, God. Lord, against hope, we have believed in hope. And Father, our life is in your hands. We've said, God, that's all there is left. But I stand right in the palm of your hands. But God, I thank you for a release of the anointing, a release in the power of God. Fresh vision, new insight, and new strengthening in the core of our being in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the oil of God being poured out. Come on, just receive. Just receive. He's touching us today. Lord, I thank you for smearing us down. For smearing us down today. Get into every deep layer, Father. The Lord would say to you that there's no performance necessary, that you maybe in the past have felt like you've had to measure up to somebody else's standard, but you have kept an open heart and you've said, God, I don't want it just because it's history or just because it's legend, but I want the reality of who you are right now. And God is saying, because of your hunger and because you've pressed in, you don't know, but you have taken in more of me than you know is already there. And so I'm going to say to you, stop asking me because you've already received and just begin to give it out. Ko te lo to ri in Jesus' name. Oh, riba, he's rubbing the oil in. He's rubbing the oil in. Ko ramandere shiri. Drink him in. Just sit. Just drink him in. Lord, we've been so thirsty, God. Oh, thirsty for you, Lord. Thirsty for more. Robo senenduro. Niandai andature. Uchakoroma. There's some circumstance. It's a circumstance of strife. It's a circumstance of clash. And God says that there's things that need to be healed in the people that are bringing the clash. And you can't fix it. You can't fix it. He said, let me fix it. But your part is just to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because as you pray in the Holy Ghost, that oil gets released, you see. And the oil softens. You can't soften it even by a sweet word or a smile. You've tried everything. You've tried everything. But God says, now, just put them in my hands and worship me. Yeah, just worship me, and that's resolved in Jesus' name. I call it resolved in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the oil that you're being. Come on, just worship God. Worship God. He's touching us. He's going into the deep layers. Oil of God. The oil of God. I hear the word restoration. And there's part of it's restoration of spirit, but I also feel it's more a restoration of ministry. There's weariness that has come in and you're saying, Lord, am I done? Or do I need to change direction? But if I change direction, God, I feel too weak to do that. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough to do it. These are not things you've necessarily said out loud, but they're thoughts that maybe you've had. And God is saying, my hand is on you. I've anointed you from when you were in your mother's womb. And the Lord is saying, if you will just stay in your prayer closet and just begin to pray according to the Holy Ghost, I'm going to guide your steps. Your steps are oily. Your steps are oily. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and he'll take you to everyone, every person. Oh, we receive it in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? All right. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank Jesus for what he's doing in this place. Amen. We just thank Jesus and Donna for just releasing such a powerful word, the oil of anointing. Hallelujah. Isn't he awesome? He's wonderful. And we just thank him for what he's already started in the fire and the oil of gladness. Hallelujah.